In 1669, a Parisian bookseller published a dainty volume called Portuguese Letters. It was small enough to fit in the palm of your hand, and its passionate story inspired poets and painters for hundreds of years. The identity of the writer has been the subject of much debate. Were they penned by the Frenchman whose name appears on the original publication, or were they written by a 27-year-old Portuguese nun who had been loved and left by a French soldier? Miriam Cyr examines this literary mystery in her first book, Letters of a Portuguese Nun, which has just been published, and she joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Welcome to the program, Miriam.
Well, thank you for having me.
First and briefly, how did you come upon these letters?
Well, the letters are extremely famous in the French world, and they're often done, and they've been done through generations by very famous French actresses. And so I had the pleasure of seeing a production by actually a French-Canadian actress that was directed by the Oscar-winning film director, Denis Arcand. And the letters had a profound effect on me. They spoke to me. I'm an actress by trade, and I was working with the Royal National Theatre in London. And I became obsessed with them, and I said, oh, we must know of them in the English world. So I started translating them with pen in hand and dictionary on one side and 17th century manuscripts on the other.
Describe the letters in their nature. How many of them are there? And give us kind of the content. What's in them?
There are five letters. They are an important document, not only literary, but emotional document. And they charter unrequited love. And through these five letters, we discover a woman, not a meek woman, but rather someone of fierce intelligence, extreme passion, exacting rigor. And she leads us on a roller coaster of emotion and passion and discovery of ourselves, ultimately, because she is so precise in her dissecting what she's going through, that she ultimately speaks on a universal plane and touches all those who come in contact with her.
Tell us who she is, this nun whose authorship of these letters is in doubt.
Mariana Alcofrado was born to a rich nobleman and was taken to the convent at the age of 10 to be raised as a Western equivalent of a Japanese geisha. She was versed in politics. She was versed in history, in mathematics, in science, in languages. She was born the year the Portuguese Revolution was to begin, to free itself from the yoke of Spain. And by the time she reached the age of 27, her country had been at war for as long as she had been alive. And there, at 27, she met a French officer come to do Louis XIV's secret bidding to help defend Portugal from Spain. And she fell in love, was seduced, and they had a torrid affair, all in her little house that was situated on the premises of this oh-so-unusual convent.
Now, it's important to talk about the nature of convents and, indeed, the nature of nuns in the 17th century, because in many ways, convent is not what would be the equivalent or what we could imagine today. In the 17th century, women had their own little houses on the grounds. Many of them wore their own clothes. They wore jewelry. In many respects, it was almost, you know, more a dormitory for rich daughters of the local gentry and whose fathers wanted to protect them from war, or get them out of the way so the sons could inherit, or women who could not make a profitable marriage. These women would show hospitality to all guests. So it's,
yes,
you know, soldiers being in a convent, this is not unusual.
This is not unusual because they were in a very precarious position. It was war. And Rome, who was on the side of Spain, had emptied the bishoprics of Portugal, and hence leaving women in charge, the abbesses in charge of governing over their own fate. But that also had financial responsibilities. They had the convent in itself employed hundreds of people, and they had contracts to pay. They ran a dairy farm. They ran settlements. So they needed money, and they had two sources of income. One, the women who were coming into convents who had to pay a dowry to enter religion, and the other was to produce goods and services, but also to ensure they had protectorates and that they had rich patrons and benefactors. So it was essential for them to be wonderful entertainers.
So the nun and the French soldier, they fall in love. They spend time in her own little private house on the grounds. How did she get away with spending so much time alone with him?
Well, there are many, many theories onto how he got into the convent, how he left the convent. The most obvious one is that the abbess would lock the houses at night with a key and only unlock in the morning. So he had to enter before she would lock. And the only time he had to do this was when all the nuns were at matins and she had a servant, and she would have let the soldier in before the abbess locked the key, and then he would have had to slip out, probably dressed as a, disguised as a laborer, day laborer, or painter in the morning.
The third letter, which she wrote circa January or February 1668, she's writing, "What will become of me? What do you want me to do?" You know, the pain, the sorrow. I mean, she really is writing as a brokenhearted woman. Letter number 5, would you read some of that? This is actually part of the very last letter she wrote.
And at this point, she has come to the conclusion that she will never see him again, and therefore she must love him no more. And I'll let her speak. At one point, she says, "Will I not learn that a loving heart, once affected, never forgets the one who quickened emotions unknown and unattainable till then? That all its impulses belong to its first love, that its first thoughts, its first wounds, cannot be cured or blotted." And a little later on, she goes on to say something I find so endearing. She says, "I grant, a nun does not normally inspire love. Yet it seems to me that were men capable of reason in their choices, they should attach themselves to nuns rather than to other women. Nothing prevents nuns from reflecting incessantly on their passion. They are not distracted by a thousand things that dissipate and occupy the world. It must be very unpleasant to see the one we love always seduced by a thousand trifles, and one must be greatly insensitive to suffer without distress that they speak forever of assemblies, clothing, promenades. One is forever exposed to new jealousies. Women are forever obliged to please, indulge, converse."
Why not a nun indeed? I mean, she's intelligent. She doesn't have those attachments that other women have. This was all happening at a time when arranged marriages were going on. People were marrying for money and power, certainly not for love.
Well, certainly the facts speak to this having had a profound effect on the soldier, because he returned to France, became intently religious, as if he'd gone through some kind of conversion, and never took 10 years to marry, ultimately married a woman 20 years his junior that had nursed him throughout a year where he had been severely wounded, and she was reputed to be the ugliest woman of France. And they never had children. It was a marriage of convenience. And so he never, ever denied the affair, never confirmed it, and clearly was deeply affected by this, as was she.
Miriam Sears' historical mystery is called Letters of a Portuguese Nun, Uncovering the Mystery Behind a 17th Century Forbidden Love. It's published by Miramax, and Miriam Sears joined us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can read an excerpt from Miriam Sears' book on our website, and there are many interviews with authors at our website. Just go to npr.org, click on Books when you get there. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.